Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to bring a message to you this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I do want to encourage you to grab a Bible and open it with me. We are going to look at quite a few scriptures, and I believe you would enjoy seeing them with your own two eyes. Let's begin by reading the first two verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4. They say, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. This is a charge that Paul is giving to Timothy before God. What a serious charge that is. He said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Christ is the judge of the spiritually living and the spiritually dead. And he said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now here's the charge. Preach the word. Preach the word. Paul said, Timothy. Paul loved Timothy. Loved him. He was a young man who traveled with Paul, and he said, Timothy, here's the charge I'm leaving you with. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's the title of this message. Preach the word. My prayer is that by the end of this message, we understand the importance, the vitalness of only preaching the word. Preach the word. Whatever the word says, whatever God has written, preach the word. Preach the word. Verse 2 says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now we who have been called of God to preach the word, men who stand up and physically declare it, and congregations who gather to hear the word and support the word and declare it with the pastor. We who have been called of God to preach, we are not trying to preach a doctrine. He said at the end of verse 2 right there, do it with doctrine, long-suffering and doctrine. We are not trying to preach a doctrine. That is not the reason to stand up in a pulpit and preach. We have not selected a doctrine that we like best. Sometimes men and women will go hear some different denominations, some different doctrines, and find the one that they like best. And that's not what we who have been truly called of God to preach and hear and declare. We have not just selected something that sounds good to us. I think we'll go with this. I think I'll commit my life to this and declare this and support this. That's not what has taken place. What we, by God's grace, are going to do and are going to endeavor to do is preach the word. Preach the word, not just a doctrine. I'm not going to, by God's grace, I'm not going to spend my life trying to convince myself of something or convince anybody else of something if I cannot find it in this word. We're going to preach the word, whatever it says. God's word is our doctrine. And I hope that that will sink in a little bit. God's word is our doctrine. Well, what do you believe about this? And what do you believe about that? The only answer is, what has God said about it? That's our doctrine. We cannot. I see a lot of this happening today. A lot of men and women do this today, but this is something we cannot do. We cannot throw out one of God's words just because we believe it does not fit in with our doctrine. It doesn't fit into the doctrine that I've convinced myself of. Every word of God's word is our doctrine. That's our doctrine. As He has declared it to be in the context that He declared it in. We're not going to take one little snippet of what He said out of context and preach that and believe that. We're going to preach what He said in the context that He declared it to be in. And by God's grace, we're going to preach the Word instantly, in season, out of season, whether it's popular or unpopular. He said, reprove. That means convict, convince. He said, rebuke. That means correct. He said, exhort. That means comfort, encourage, strengthen. And He said, do it with long-suffering. Do it with patience. And He said, do it with doctrine. Doctrine means, the word doctrine means words. It physically means teaching. It means instruction. We're going to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with patience. And we're going to do it with the Word itself. The Word itself. God's Word will do every bit of that. God's Word will accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished in His people. Now, I want us to look at three things in this. Number one, I want us to look at the warning against not preaching the Word. This is a serious, serious warning to men who stand up and preach and to every person who sits in a pew and listens to a man preach. This warning goes out to all of us. The warning against not preaching the Word. Verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound words, sound teaching. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to heap these teachers that will tickle their ears. They have itching ears. Bring in men who will just tell them what they want to hear. Tell them the lies that they want to hear. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They'll be turned unto lies. We need to be warned of the great danger. I mean the great eternal danger of not preaching this word. We need to be warned of that and not hearing this word preached. Make sure you are hearing the word preached. Our Lord said, take heed what you hear. That's the message of this morning. Take heed what you hear, even from me. Don't just assume with me. For your own good, for your own safety. Take heed. 1 John 4, verse 1 says, try the spirits, try the preachers. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just assume because I'm a preacher that I am preaching God's word and preaching the truth. John said, try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many false prophets. That's what God's Word says. Many of the preachers, you see, are not telling the truth. False prophets. How do we try them? By the Word. By the Word. That's how we know. By the Word. Turn with me, if you have your Bible there, over to Jeremiah 23. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1 says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." That's a serious warning to me. And that's a serious warning to every man who is standing up and preaching to a group of people. God said, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." Verse 16, if you look right here in the same chapter at verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, they make you vain." They make you vain. How can we identify the message of these, and as the word put it, ear-tickling preachers? These preachers that tickle itching ears. These preachers that are turning men and women away from the truth. How can we identify them and identify the message they're preaching? Here's the answer. It's all about you. It's all about you. The men, the message, it's all about you. It's all about how you can become a better person in this world. That's their message. How can you become a better person in this world? This is what they say. They stand up and say, "This is how God wants you to be." Okay, let's look at His law. Now, this is how God wants you to be. If you will start acting like this, if you'll start doing these things, and if you'll stop doing those things, you will be a better person in society. This is the message they preach. You'll be a better person. You'll be happier. Do this and you'll be happier. Do this and you'll be healthier. Do this. It's all about you. Everything is about you. That's how you can tell. It's all about you. Our Lord said, they'll make you vain. Watch it. They'll make you vain. The gospel is about Christ. The gospel is all about Christ. When you go sit down into a place and you hear a man preach, if he's talking about you and it's all about you and it's all about you, run. Run. The gospel is all about Christ. The gospel, if a man is preaching the gospel, he's telling you who Christ is and what He has done. The truth is the warning against not hearing the gospel. It's the warning, the danger of not having Christ. Christ is the gospel. The gospel is a person. In verse 16 right here says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord." They're preaching their own words and not God's word. Verse 17, "They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said," that's what they say. They stand up and say, "God says." The Lord hath said, when God didn't say. "The Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." They cry nothing but peace, peace to poor souls when there's no peace. Verse 21, he said, "I have not sent these prophets." I've not sent them. They're not my called servants. They do not carry my message. They're not speaking on my behalf to you. He said, "I've not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I've not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." Verse 25, he said, "I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed." They stand up and say, "Oh, I had a dream." Verse 28, I love this verse. "The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord. He that has my word, let him preach the word." Preach the word. Just preach the word. Don't listen to any man who will not just preach God's word to you. Don't do it. Verse 29, the Lord said, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" When the word of God comes to a sinner, when God sends it to the heart of a sinner, it comes like a ton of bricks. It just knocks him down. Ask Saul of Tarsus. He had that happen to him. Verse 31, he said, "Behold, I am against the prophets that saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith." They stand up and say, "Now, you know God says," when God didn't say. He said, "It's not in my word. Search the scriptures whether these things be so." Verse 32, "Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord." What he's saying is, you cannot, in a message that comes like that, when it's not solely the word of God, you can't say, "Well, I'll take the good parts and throw away the bad parts." It does not work that way. God said, "It's not my messenger. He does not come in the Holy Spirit. He does not have my word, and he is not going to profit my people at all." No one is going to be saved under that preaching. No one. As a matter of fact, God says every soul who sits under that preaching and believes it, and the man who preaches it himself, will be damned for not preaching the word of God. So the great warning has gone out to all of us. Preach the word. Preach the word. All right? That's the warning against not preaching the word. Let's see four reasons to preach the word. Okay? The warning against not preaching it. Now here's four reasons to preach it. Number one, and I believe you can well relate to this. You probably heard this many times growing up. A parent tells a child to do something, and the child's answer is always, "Why?" You know, a parent tells a child, "Clean your room." "Why?" The response is, "Because I said so." Well, here's the first reason. God said so. Preach the word. Why do we preach the word? God said so. There's no need to comment on that. We just put a period behind it. God said so. Period. Number two, we preach this word because men and women are actually saved by it. Actually saved by it. Somebody can ask the question, "Well, weren't God's people saved before the foundation of the world?" Absolutely they were. God said they were in His Word. He said they were in His Word. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, "He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." Who chose us? Chose us in who? The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. All of God's works were finished before the foundation of the world. Somebody will say, "Well, weren't God's people saved on the cross of Calvary at that moment in time when Christ physically died?" Absolutely they were. God said they were in His Word. On that very cross, Christ cried, "It is finished." Having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Christ must needs have suffered and died. But turn over to Romans 1. If you have your Bible there, go with me to Romans 1. And let's look at verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," the message, the preaching of the gospel of Christ, "for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That's why we preach this word. That's the reason why. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." It pleased God to use the means of preaching. Our Lord said in Mark 16, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That's why we preach this word. That's the very reason. The third reason to preach it is in Romans 10, just a few pages over to Romans chapter 10. Verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." By the word of God. Hearing the word of God. We need more faith. We all do. All of us need more faith. The apostles said, "Lord, would you increase our faith?" If God's apostles said that, how much more should we cry that? "Lord, would you please increase our faith?" We need to trust Him more. Just leave it in His hands and trust Him more. We need to believe more. We need to rest more and wait more. We need to be patient more. Wait on the Lord. Just be patient. All of that is called faith. It's faith. How do we attain more faith? By hearing the word preached. Faith comes by hearing. That goes hand in hand with the fourth reason to preach the word. With that faith comes spiritual growth in God's people. Spiritual growth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another with these words. God's word is where our comfort comes from. We all need more comfort, don't we? It comes from God's word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 say, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Desire that sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. "If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." This word is how we grow in grace. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Our hope and our assurance grows through this word. It grows our faith, our comfort, our hope, our assurance. Everything grows through the hearing of the word. He said, "These things have I written unto you that you may know." So now we've looked at the warning against not preaching the word. We've looked at God-given reasons to preach the word. Here's the third thing I want us to look at concerning this. What are we preaching when we preach the word? What are we preaching? What has God written in here? What is this word all about? What is our subject matter when we preach the word? Here's the answer. All through this word, from the first page to the last page, there is a great question asked. A great question. In this word, all through it, from the first page to the last page, there is a great answer given. There's a question asked, and there's an answer given. Here is the question. Job asked, "How can man be just with God?" How can a sinner be justified before God? How should man be just? I know I've sinned against God. I know God's a holy God. How can a sinner be just before God? Here's the answer. John said in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." Down in verse 14, he said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Christ himself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Christ himself. Preach Christ. That's the message of the Word of God. That's the entire message of Scripture. How can a sinner be justified with God? Preach Christ. Preach the Word. Preach the glory of the Word. What is the glory of the Word? The Apostle Paul said, "I have determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Christ and Him crucified. That is the glory of the Word. That is how a sinner can be justified with God. Jesus Christ crucified, bearing the sin of every soul God gave to Him, taking all of their sin upon Himself, standing before the Holy God and being judged for it and being killed for it, enduring the punishment, enduring the wrath, paying the debt, and setting His people free. That's the glory of the Word. God forbid that we should glory in anything save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We preach the Word. We preach the Word. We preach the Word in the Word. We preach Christ in the Word. We preach the glory of the Word. Who Christ is, what He has done, where He is now. If we do that, if we hear that, if we believe that, then not only will we know how sinners are justified before God, we will be justified before God in Christ. Preach the Word. Hear the Word. Believe the Word. Till next week, may the Lord bless the Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.